1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Biden says his administration is taking steps to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug. CBS's Peter King on what it means.
The Biden administration bills it as historic. The reclassification of marijuana as a less dangerous drug. White House drug czar Dr. Rahul Gupta.
Too many lives have been upended because of our failed approach to marijuana historically.
Gupta tells CBS News the move would put marijuana in the same class as many common prescription drugs, while making it more available for medical purposes. It would not legalize it outright for recreational use. Peter King, CBS News.
Taking the stand for a third day in former President Donald Trump's Manhattan criminal trial, his former attorney, Michael Cohen. The defense pressed Cohen on his crimes and lies, trying to sow doubt in jurors' minds about his testimony against the former president, who has pleaded not guilty to falsifying business records to hide hush money payments to interfere with the 2016 election. CBS's Robert Costa.
Cohen will be back on the witness stand on Monday, and Trump's team could finish up its cross-examination that day. A source close to Trump tells me he might want to take the witness stand, but for now, that's unlikely.
Early estimates show that when a barge in Texas collided with the bridge connecting Galveston to Pelican Island yesterday, it spilled quite a bit of oil in surrounding waters. Martin Marine President Rick Freed.
We're approximately on the source of the spill, probably between 1,000 and 2,000 gallons total.
Over 605 gallons have been recovered. State officials say early cleanup efforts have not identified any impacted wildlife in Galveston Bay. Israel is expanding its military assault on Rafah in southern Gaza. Reporter Yotam Confino with an update from the Israel Defense Forces.
More troops will be deployed in the coming days. And the IDF is saying that it is estimated that 100 terrorists have been killed in and around Rafah. And it's going deeper and deeper into the city, but it's still not considered a full-on invasion.
The U.S. Supreme Court rejects a move by conservatives against the government's Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The justices have ruled that the way the agency is funded does not violate the Constitution, reversing a lower court ruling. CBS News legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau lives to fight another day. If the court had gone the other way and said there's a problem with their funding source, that obviously could have been fatal for the agency.
Almost two decades after a woman's death during Hurricane Katrina, modern forensic tests have identified the remains of Tonette Waltman Jackson. Floodwaters split her Biloxi, Mississippi home in half and swept her away. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us next Midday Magazine as we wrap up the week talking with State Senator Patrick Teston in Part 1 and the United Way in Part 2, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris back in Wisconsin Thursday. She spoke to black voters in Milwaukee about the administration's efforts to create economic opportunity.
You see the signs around Milwaukee and around our country brought to you by the Biden-Harris administration, and you see a crane and you see shovels in the ground.
Harris also talked about forgiving student loan and medical debt and improving access to housing. The Green Bay Packers will play at least five games on national primetime TV this football season. The NFL released its regular season schedule Wednesday night. The Packers will open the season with a game in Sao Paulo, Brazil on Friday, September 6th, and they'll host a game on Thanksgiving night. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers sink the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It kind of looked like Bambi's Bombers from 40 years ago. Five home runs from five different Brewer players on the way to a 10-2 win over Pittsburgh at American Family Field in front of nearly 33,000 fans. 24-year-old lefty Robert Gasser becoming the first pitcher in Brewers franchise history to begin his MLB career 2-0.
I was able to use the whole arsenal today, so went to the cutter, went to the changeup, got some outs on him, so I was really happy to be able to use those and with everything else.
The NFL schedules are out, and the Packers with 5 games in prime time. The bye week is in week 10. They finish the season on the road against the Vikings and at home against the Bears. Doug Gottlieb is the new head basketball coach at UW Green Bay and admits he's off to a late start recruiting new players.
Is it late? Sure, but being late is a lot worse if you're at Kentucky or Arkansas or even Wyoming. That's a lot harder late at that level than is this level.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the upper 40s. Mostly sunny and much warmer tomorrow, high, low 80s. More sunshine than clouds for the weekend. Isolated storms or a shower possible. Highs in the mid-80s on Saturday, upper 70s Sunday. It's 67 right now.
Crude and Dom.
Crude and Rich are doing it live this Friday, a special Barron Trump graduation edition. Call in with your grievances, Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who wanted to be in porn but didn't have the acting chops, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Hour 2 here on this Thursday night. Great to have you with me. We are broadcasting live from downtown Green Bay at City Deck Landing statewide throughout this beautiful state of Wisconsin. Our question tonight, what is your favorite classic movie? It is National Classic Movie Day. L.A. Tom from the 310 says, Lean on Me, Morgan Freeman. Okay. That is a movie I actually have never seen all the way through, but I've seen the whole thing in parts, and that's not a good way to watch a movie. Great one, though, Tom. And you reminded me that I needed to see it. My guest right now, we're having some fun here with John Davies. He's a very accomplished TV producer, documentarian, film producer. And he's joining us to talk specifically about his documentary called Lincoln is Crying, The Grifters, Grafters, and Governors of Illinois. And I realize we're in Wisconsin, but there are a lot of transplants here, and there are a lot of Wisconsinites probably enjoying this, that we're talking about how corrupt Illinois is, because that's how they see Illinois sometimes, too. John, the Chicago mob, you make reference in the film. Where can people see this, first of all?
If you Google it, apparently now we've signed a distribution deal. You can find it online now.
Okay.
Just Google Lincoln is Crying movie, and you should be able to find it. It's on PBS stations all over the country. When they run it, I don't know. But gotcha. We did sign a deal with an organization called NIDA, and they distribute nothing but programs to public television stations. So I've had friends tell me they Google it in their small towns, and they found it.
Great.
So. Okay. We definitely signed that agreement. It was on WTTW for a while, but that's down in Chicago. I think that signal bleeds a little bit into southern Wisconsin.
Right.
But no, it's on something like 170 stations across the country.
All right. So it is very accessible. Definitely check it out, folks. It's great. And I want to talk about your style in a second, because I was surprised there was a consistency a little bit I saw in between that and Funny Business, that you just have a great pace to your films. You really hold the viewer's attention. But before we get to that, I want to ask you, you did allude to the mob. Why is it, you know, the Chicago outfit, I've read a lot of books on the Chicago mob, is the biggest or was the biggest criminal entity in the history of the world, because it was all in one city. It wasn't five families in New York. They controlled everything west of the Mississippi. You had to do business with the mob, I would assume, if you were in politics in Chicago. So who's really to blame for the corruption? At some point, you have to stand up and say, this is not right, but you're probably scared for your life at some point, too. How do they change that, or do they?
Well, you know, one of the points we make in the film is that eventually the city and a lot of these politicians became more frightening than the mob, and they had more power. I mean, I remember reading a statistic several years ago when I was doing all the research for this film that the LA Coliseum used X number of yards of cement, and it was almost an identical number to Soldier Field, right? But the cost of the two was 100% different because of all the mob payoffs to build Soldier Field, right? That's how much criminal enterprise happened. But eventually, as we point out in the film, things like the old numbers racket, which the mob controlled, well, that's the lottery now.
Yeah.
That's all these lottery games. That's a numbers game. It's the old numbers racket. You know, the legalization of pot, that's a government-controlled thing. That used to be an illegal thing. You know, what's next? Prostitution? Believe it or not, I've heard that's been on the table many times in Chicago about legal brothels. Wow. Yeah, so I think when a city runs out of money, which Chicago has, by the way, the only reason the current mayor has a balanced budget is he's still using the money that came in from the COVID deal, which was enormous, right? Yeah. But once that's gone, they're back to a terrible financial situation, not just the city, but the whole state of Illinois. And I lay out all the numbers in the film.
Yeah.
It's really one of the worst managed states in history. But forget about the mob stealing. As I point out in my film, you've got the politicians. And I don't know if anybody in Wisconsin is aware of this, but when they went after Ed Burke and he was convicted of 13 of 14 felony charges, and they went down to City Hall and they interviewed all the aldermen, they were upset about the mole who ratted him out, not about his criminality. And that should tell you right there where we are. You know, these people all ran on, well, I'm a reformer. I'm going to come in and fix it. Let's see what their track record is 10 years from now. Let's see how many of them are under felony indictment. I hate to say this, but I think it's a long-held tradition in Chicago and Illinois that will not be abandoned.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny when you used to hear this about Michael Cohen with Trump too. If you're a politician and you openly say you have a fixer, you know, what is that telling people? I don't need a fixer.
Well, they all kind of have that. You know, Johnson had one. Of course, Kennedy had multiple ones.
Right.
Kennedy had really intelligent fixers. They all kind of have a fixer. You know, it's you don't get to that job without having someone who's sweeping something under the rug. But yeah, I'm glad you pointed out that Lincoln is Crying is a lot like Funny Business. You know, I do have a style, and it's always to keep the audience engaged. I read an article years ago about stimulating the retina, that the retina needs to be stimulated. You know, MTV capitalized on that with the quick cutting and all that.
Yeah.
So I took some of my technique from that. But I also zoom in. I don't pull out in pictures. I zoom in. I keep pulling the audience into the screen. But I keep the pace going so you don't have time to really get bored. I always felt that Robin Williams, while not the funniest comic, he threw so much stuff at you so fast that one out of every four things was going to hit.
Right.
And you would forget about the two things that didn't. And I think that's sort of been my approach. Now, listen, Pete, I need to tell you something here, and I very much apologize for this.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you from Santa Barbara.
Okay.
I have to be in a car in 5 minutes driving to a restaurant.
Okay.
And I'm very sorry about I didn't know you were going to do that news break, and not your fault, of course. I can give you about another 5 minutes. Do you want to shift to Funny Business for a minute?
Yeah, I was just about to do that anyway, because your style with Funny Business is similar to the pacing you have as a director is great. And yeah, let's talk about Funny Business, Chicago's first black comedy club. When I was younger, when I just first started doing comedy, John, I would look at the paper, the Chicago Reader, and see who was playing where. And George Wilburn was always at All Jokes Aside. And I never met that guy, and I didn't know what was going on there. And I admit ignorance here. I didn't realize, you know, because probably I'm white and I played all the other clubs where I met a lot of black comics. But I never went to All Jokes Aside. I didn't know what was going on. They were making stars down there.
Well, you're not alone. You know, and we have Tim Kazurinsky, the Second City guy who went on to write on SNL and perform. He didn't know it either. 90% of the people at Second City had no idea about All Jokes Aside. That's why it was such a great story. It's one of the few comedy stories I could tell that hadn't been told. And I love the way Showtime promoted it because they ran it. They premiered it and they said, all right, basically they ran a promo that said, hey, you think you know everything about comedy? You don't.
Yeah.
Watch Funny Business tonight. And I've had really huge comedy historians come to me and say the same thing. So I'm really proud of that film. I just want to tell you this real quick before I leave you. I'm going to make one more big comedy doc, and I'm doing all the research on it right now. I haven't sold it yet, but it's going to be called Comedy's Finest Hours, : The Making of Comic Relief, because I now have access to the entire Comic Relief vault. And my partner was Bob Zamuda for 7 years. So you're going to probably see one more big comedy doc out of me because I'm 70 now. I've got one more in me, and it's going to be that Comedy's Finest Hours, the beginning of the origins of comic relief. And I'm going to make that with Bob, and that'll probably be our last thing together.
Well, this is great. I loved Funny Business. Where can people see Funny Business, John? And it's spelled PHUNNY business, Funny Business.
You're going to have to go on the internet and illegally download it. I hate to say that, but I've run out of the rights on that. We bought all those clips, and they were only good for 7 years, and that movie is over 10 years old now. So, but people, all my friends tell me, if you know an IT kid, you can get it. You just have to get online. Right. I shouldn't be encouraging that, but I no longer have the rights to distribute it. But young people never have trouble finding it. So just find that kid in your office who's good with IT. Funny Business, : A Black Comedy, because I'm really proud of it.
It's a great
Academy Award winner, John Ridley, by the way.
Yeah, and that was an interesting choice, too. You don't show any clips of him performing at the club, and he's not a Chicago guy. He's a great guy, but you chose him to narrate. Can you tell what that choice
just real quick, because first of all, I had worked with John. I'd produced a show called Movie Club with John Ridley for AMC, and I knew him as a screenwriter and a director. But one day he said to me, "Hey, John, I'm not going to have any trouble with Movie Club. You know, I was a stand-up, right?" I didn't. I Googled him. I saw his work. To me, he's like Judd Apatow and a lot of other guys, better writers than stand-ups.
Yeah.
And I met him through my friend Eddie Feldman, who is a better writer than stand-up also. So he falls into that category. Ridley is a tremendous writer. And I realized he's Black. He's a writer. He knows this world. He can tell this story with some authority because he's lived it. And that's why I hired him. And I like his voice.
Me too.
You know, he's not James Earl Jones, but it's got an authenticity to it. And you can hear in his voice, he's been there, I think. And you know what? You get a free rewrite out of John Ridley. Like when I sent him the script, he's like, "Well, wait a minute. I'm like, great, go ahead.
Yeah.
Make some changes, future Academy Award winner."
Exactly. Well,
so I have got to say goodbye to you, Pete.
Yeah.
Love to do the show again because I feel we just scratched the surface.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed myself, and thank you for having me on.
You got it. I want to talk more about Funny Business when you have a little more time, John. Or maybe we'll have you back for another quick hit because I have more questions, but we'll do that another time. It was great having you on the show. And enjoy your dinner, buddy. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it. I'm happy to do the show anytime. I would like to talk some more about it, too. So good night, and thank you, everyone.
You bet. Take care, John. All right. That's John Davies, producer of Lincoln is Crying, The Grifters, Grafters, and Governor of Illinois, former Siskel and Ebert producer, and also the director-producer of the documentary Funny Business. And it is great. And it's one of those things where I worked with, you know, a lot of Black comics in Chicago. And again, I had no idea what was happening, at all jokes aside, in the South Loop. But it launched some incredible careers. Bernie Mac, Steve Harvey, D.L. Hewley, Jamie Foxx, all these big names came out of All Jokes Aside. And it is a great documentary. If you can find it online, I highly recommend it. I turned it on last night. I thought, oh, I'll watch the first 45 minutes of this, then I'll come back to it tomorrow. I ended up watching the whole thing last night. It's paced well, it moves, it's funny, and it's just really well done. And that's John Davies. So Mike Clemens is going to join us in just a few minutes. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night on Civic Media.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Witt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between Depeer and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
What's your favorite classic movie? It's National Classic Movie Day today. Feel free to let us know on the text line at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We've had some good ones. Gone with the Wind, Godfather, oh, Cocktail and Dirty Dancing from the 715. Okay. Cocktail and Dirty Dancing. Hey, who am I to say a classic is whatever someone thinks? Conrad, you think Happy Gilmore's a classic, right?
I mean, yeah.
Okay, there you go. There's no wrong answer, folks.
You know, I will say, though, my favorite classic movie is A Bronx Tale.
Oh, you've seen The Bronx Tale?
Yeah.
With Robert De Niro and Chaz Palminteri?
Yeah.
Great film.
Such a good film.
You know, you probably don't remember this. This is just like a film geek thing, but there's a scene where De Niro is walking down the street with his son, kind of explaining to him what it means to be a man and to be a good guy and how mm-hmm. he shouldn't idolize this gangster. And it was dark. Like the sun was setting way in the distance, but they were sort of walking and you couldn't totally make them out. And there was a time when that drove filmmakers crazy. But to me, it looks so real. And a lot of that film is so real. It's just so well acted and it's got such a great message. And there's that, and that, actually, the guy who played the thug, Chaz Palminteri, wrote that as a play, and it was a famous play in New York, and that's why how it got made into a movie. But there's a great line where he says, the kid says to him, he doesn't like, what did he say made Mickey Mantle cry? But Chaz Palminteri says, go tell Mickey Mantle your father can't pay his rent. See if he cares. It's just a great, like, here you go, kid, grow up. So that's good. 707, Sherry from Northwest Coast, California. Where's Stephanie Miller? I don't know, Sherry. She's usually not here with me. You text us regularly. Have you ever? I don't know. Maybe she's just asking hypothetically, like, where is she in terms of classic movies? Sherry, is that what you mean? I don't know. I used to see Stephanie all the time hiking. She lived in our neighborhood in L.A., but I don't know her well. Very funny, though. Catherine from the 773 says, okay, coolest show intro ever. Thank you, Catherine. That's what I've been saying. Right, Conrad? I mean, Todd Phillips has that voice. It's like golden pipes. And I don't even think I paid him. I think I slipped him a sawbuck.
Slipped him a Diet Coke.
Diet Coke. Catherine says, favorite movie classic, Poltergeist. That scared the living daylights. Talk about a movie that makes you not want to watch TV. Like Jaws made you not want to go in the ocean. Poltergeist, when I was a kid and I saw that, I really did not want to watch TV, especially not when it was all fuzzy. That's a great answer, too.
I've seen so many like comedy remakes of that, too. It's still scary to me. I don't know. I've seen Family Guy do it. I mean, it's funny, but I'm just like, just imagine that.
It's terrible. And we did a beat. One of the Hollywood beats is about a film. I just give suggestions about what to see this weekend. And one of them is called I Saw the Glow. And it's about watching TV like that. So it spawned a lot of, I don't know, it's just made other people want to be derivative, I guess, because Poltergeist is definitely a classic. So Mike Clemens is coming up in just a few minutes, folks. He, always fun to talk to Mike. I'm glad he's back in action. We always enjoy it. He wants to talk about Unfrosted while he's here, and that's fine. You and Mike can bond over that. Or maybe he didn't like it. I don't know. I don't want to speak for him.
I liked it, so not a lot of people did.
No, I think Chris Casper sent a text that he liked it as well.
Yep.
I didn't like hate it.
I mean, I didn't love it.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was a cool, funny, short movie, you know?
Right.
Had a bunch of great actors in it.
For sure. Definitely who's who of comedy. UW Green Bay, where we're broadcasting from here, has a new head basketball coach, Doug Gottlieb. I got to tell you, that took me by surprise.
Yeah.
And I know he's had controversy. I think this just came out recently, or at least I was made aware of it recently. He had an issue with stealing a teammate or a roommate's credit card when he was at Notre Dame, I think, as a freshman.
Hmm.
And he said the controversy has never really come back to haunt him. I mean, it shouldn't. Look, he was 19, 18, whatever. Give the guy a break. I don't know where he came from or what his moral compass was at that age. I know a lot of people are still trying to figure things out. I have several sex tapes I hope never see the light of day. It was a different time, okay? They're all rated PG, though, so you don't have to worry. They're family-friendly sex tapes. But Doug Gottlieb, that's an interesting hire.
Yeah.
And I loved when UWGB, they were always in the tournament, and they were always the team you didn't want to play. And somehow they had a run, like, in 10 years, they made the Sweet 16, like, 5 or 6 times. It was really cool, this little powerhouse right here from Green Bay. And I never lived here, but I always cheered for them wherever I lived. And it would be so cool. I mean, we have a Division I basketball program right here in Northeast Wisconsin. I don't think people realize how cool that is sometimes.
It is cool.
Yeah, and I've been to a few games since I've been back here. And, man, I would love to see them return to do some really cool stuff. And maybe he'll do that for them.
Well, see, I'm a UWM fan, so.
Milwaukee?
that's where I went, so.
The Panthers?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they've been looking really good.
Yeah.
Ever since they changed coaches. It's just a new life.
Yeah, what did they do last year?
They actually beat UWGB in the tournament.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. Which I was surprised about. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Conrad, I'm going to give you a little trivia question here. Last night, I think I did okay on your friend's quiz, but I'm going to ask you something tonight. I'll see how you do here. Who is the longest running SNL? No, never mind.
Well, who's the longest running SNL cast member? Kenan Thompson?
I misread that. Kenan Thompson is not. I thought he was too, and that's where I was starting to go with that. But apparently, he's the third longest serving cast member.
Oh, wow, okay.
Daryl Hammond, who he did 14 seasons, and he's not the most recognizable SNL name. Like, he's not a name you go to. But Daryl Hammond was also a stand-up comic. And I always love when stand-ups got on SNL because mostly they went to, like, Second City or The Groundlings and they found people for the cast. But I loved when a stand-up got on there. And Daryl Hammond used to do the best Phil Donahue. He was just a really funny dude and a heck of a nice guy. Seth Meyers is second. Do you know how many seasons he's been on?
12?
Close, 13.
Oh, okay.
But Kenan Thompson is, like, that Beavis and Butthead thing was so funny. And he was like, I mean, they were funny as Beavis and Butthead, but Kenan Thompson, when he would keep noticing them, he'd go, Beavis is in your crowd. Like, this guy who's like a genius on AI is obsessed with Beavis and Butthead. Now they're even laughing like they did on the show. So great. Hey, what's your favorite classic movie, folks? You can still weigh in tonight on the question, 855-752-4842. I have to say, we got to have John Davies back because I had so many more questions and I really wanted to talk. I should have led with the comedy documentary, but I was trying to save the headliner for last. And he had to go. He had to go to Red Lobster. I don't know where John was going for dinner. That was fun, though. Great guy. Mike Clemens is coming up next. We're going to ask him, Conrad, what are we going to ask? We'll ask him about Doug Gottlieb, the draft.
Yep, the draft.
Unfrosted.
The Brewers.
We got a lot of stuff to talk to Mike about. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just another night, another vision of love. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. The Biden administration moves forward to reclassify marijuana and acknowledge the medical benefits of its use and that it is less likely to be abused. President Biden saying,
"No one should be in jail merely for using or possessing marijuana, period. Far too many lives have been upended because of failed approach to marijuana, and I'm committed to righting those wrongs."
At former President Donald Trump's Manhattan criminal trial, CBS's Errol Barnett says Trump's lawyers tried to show Michael Cohen's interest in exacting revenge against his longtime boss.
Really, the defense's goal as they end this week was to throw sand into the testimony of Michael Cohen, because Cohen has testified that, yes, Trump wanted to hide the alleged sexual encounter, and he did so through those falsified records.
At the University of California, Irvine, pro-Palestinian protesters were arrested during the clearing out of an encampment, and demonstrators are now criticizing the police response. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Guaranteed income programs are controversial in some circles, but research shows they're working. They give cash to low-income households with no strings attached. Rachel Barnhart is with a nonprofit that facilitates these programs around the country. A study by the Urban Institute looked at how that money is spent in Austin, Texas.
A majority of the cash payments was spent on housing, and we saw an increase in housing stability.
Madison had a privately funded guaranteed income program in 2022 and 23. A Wisconsin emergency room doctor is a recent four-time winner on Jeopardy and headed to the game show's Tournament of Champions. Dr. Amy Hummel's episodes aired in late April and early May. She won $101,000. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Netflix has announced a new Kathryn Bigelow project at the Upfronts in New York on Wednesday. The 72-year-old award-winning Bigelow has directed thrillers Zero Dark Thirty and The Hurt Locker, but she has not directed a film since 2017's Detroit. The project is still currently untitled. Sticking with Netflix news, it's official. There will be a sequel. Happy Gilmore 2 is a go. The network used the Upfronts for this announcement as well. The news comes after months of speculation and rumors and hints dropped by various Happy Gilmore 1 cast members. Unfortunately, it will not star Adam Sandler. Ha! Just kidding. The first film was released in 1996 and followed Sandler's character, a hockey player with anger issues who turns to golf. Chris McDonald is expected to return as golfer Shooter McGavin. This will be Sandler's ninth project with the streaming service. Here's hoping there will never be a sequel to Uncut Gems. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the upper 40s. Mostly sunny and much warmer tomorrow, high, low 80s. More sunshine than clouds for the weekend, isolated storms or a shower possible. Highs in the mid-80s on Saturday, upper 70s Sunday. Currently at 64 degrees.
To everyone who can't get enough bacon, we're cooking up something savory for you at Culver's. If you thought our cook-to-order Bacon Deluxe couldn't get any better, wait until you get a taste of it with our new thick-cut bacon. It's savory, it's smoky, with just a hint of sweetness. Try it on the Bacon Deluxe, or add it to all your Culver's favorites. From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area in hour number two, Zombie Cicadas, coming to a neighborhood near you. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwab podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwab anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwab.
Tomorrow night on Nightlight, I welcome comedian, actor, writer Bruce Jarko, who is in the throes of doing his play about Northern Wisconsin in New York. He's going to join me from New York. Bruce has spent a ton of time in Wisconsin after growing up in Chicago, and he is going to be here to talk about it and can tell us when the show is coming to Wisconsin. It's gotten really good reviews, and it's kind of a, as Frank Anderson would say, it's a love letter to Wisconsin. It's people that that just love coming to our fine state. Also, Terry Barr. Terry Barr is going to call in from the Willie Nelson concert in Madison. How cool is that? So we have that to look forward to tomorrow. I have to do a little bit of business here. Before we bring Mike in, I just want to say Nightlight with Pete Schwab is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Did you know that, Conrad?
You know what? That sounds great.
One beer at a time. They're not rushing things. check out their webpage, MinocquaBrewingCompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. It is a really cool little joint. Definitely check it out. We have more fun business to do right now because Mike Clemens is joining us, and he's going to talk about all things sports and a little movie stuff that Mike's going to report on. Mike, how's it going?
Pretty good. About a week ago at this time, I was driving along a beach in Florida and listening to the show on the app, which I still think is kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Can call up an app and listen to what's going on back home in Wisconsin, even though you're thousands of miles away. And you guys got into discussion about this Jerry Seinfeld movie.
All right.
About the creation of Pop-Tarts. What's it called? Unfrosted?
Unfrosted, yeah.
And you said, you know, it's kind of silly. It's kind of disappointing. And the way you described it, I thought, okay, now, and I don't like to have a critic, you know, sort of necessarily change my mind,
right.
But I am such a Seinfeld fan and a Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm fan. I mean, those two shows are really the only ones that make me laugh out loud. And just I remember bits and lines from there. So I got to see some of it last night, and, man, you nailed it.
Okay.
It's, I thought maybe I was going to get to see, like, The Founder with Michael Keaton, the story of Ray Kroc and the development of McDonald's. Have you ever seen that film?
I have not.
Oh, man, it's outstanding.
I hear it's great, yeah.
Yeah, and... You know, there's some funny parts in there, but it's pretty much a biography of, you know, how this giant invention, you know, McDonald's, was put together. And I kind of thought that maybe they would borrow from that. And you know something? Before I hit play on the Netflix, I was reading the description, and it said, in this madcap comedy. Oh, God. Oh, boy. So I started watching. It was just like you said. First of all, he's got all of his friends are in there.
Yeah.
There's a great cast in there. The cars, the props, the clothes, the colors. You know, it's 1962, 63. It's great. I loved Mad Men. I love revisiting, you know, that era, that period. But it just gets silly. And it's almost like, well, did this really happen? Or are you just, is this just a silly bit you're doing here or what? And, you know, the more I thought about it, frankly, I didn't get all the way through it last night. It put me to sleep. It dozed off a little bit. I'm going to watch it all again probably this weekend.
You know, Mike.
But you know what? It reminded me, maybe he was doing this. Maybe he's thinking like, you know, we're in that period, 62, 63, and, you know, those movies like It's a Mad, 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 Mad World with Spencer Tracy and Mickey Rooney and, you know, Jonathan Winters and Adams, who was the one that was smoking the cigars. You know, it's like it's got a great cast and it's got an interesting premise, but it just ends up being dumb, just like one bad bit after the other. So, right. Yeah, that was really disappointing. I'm with you on that one.
It's interesting. I didn't know which way you were going to go, because when you said you wanted to talk about it, I assumed erroneously, obviously, that you liked it, because Conrad liked it. A couple other people I know liked it, but I just, and I like Seinfeld's been really outspoken, and people are like, oh, he's so salty lately. And I'm like, he has always been like that. He sounds like an old crabby guy now for some reason, probably because he's much older. But yeah, I didn't hate it, but I'm kind of with you. I just thought it was like sort of, you know.
Now you got to be, because to me, like if you see the movie The Founder, you know, or like a film like Mad Men, which was actually kind of serious, but you know, the actual silly screw-ups that these corporations made, and it's kind of warm to my heart, too, because, you know, Seinfeld's this big serial fan and Superman fan and all that. That's all for real. I was driving back from the Packers-Lions game last Thanksgiving weekend after covering it, and I saw a sign for Battle Creek, and I thought, you know what? It's a nice day, and I'm making a good time. I pulled off because My dad took us on a family trip from Milwaukee to Michigan to see a family over there, and he found out about that they had tours at Battle Creek. So when I was about, I don't know, 7 or 8, I got to tour the Kellogg's plant.
Very nice.
Oh, it was so cool to see how they, you know, make the cornflakes and the Rice Krispies and all that stuff. It, you know, I don't, for many years they didn't do it. I don't know if they reopened it. But, you know, that was one of the coolest things I ever did was take the plant of the cereal that's on your table, you know, every weekday morning.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, you nailed that review. There's another one that's out. Is this Tom Brady roast?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I can't wait to get your thoughts on this, Mike. I was thinking of you during all that.
When, you know, when they used to have those roasts on, what was that, Comedy Central, like in the early 2000s? And maybe they would, you know, bring on Pam Anderson and they'd roast her or something. Right. I thought those were hysterical.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would play like the uncut version after midnight on cable with, you know, they're dropping all the words and everything like that. I mean, some of the really net. I mean, I can have a sick sense of humor.
Sure.
So those were all really funny. Jeff Ross, all that. So when Brady announced he was leaving football almost 2 years ago, there's two things. He's going to sign and do play-by-play with Fox Sports for $375 million, and that he wanted to bring back roasts, and that he would make himself, you know, the object of that. And he's got kind of a Netflix relationship going on. And so this thing goes 3 hours. He's got Kevin Hart as the MC. They brought back Jeff Ross, who'd done all those ones for Comedy Central all those years. But, man, it's brutal. And I you know, I've spent plenty of time in press conferences or hanging around Tom Brady, usually at Super Bowls. I've now covered like 18 or 19 Super Bowls. Nice. Like there was one period, it was the one where we were up in Minnesota. They played the Rams. It was a low-scoring game, but it was a good special teams defensive game. It's Thursday before the Super Bowl, and there's Tom Brady sitting there at a table taking questions. Most of the reporters had gotten all their Brady quotes for the week, and they were on to other things. So it was me, Tom Brady, and about 30 kids from Japan. And he kind of interviewed them, like, so where are you from? Oh, what are your schools like? Now, do you guys follow football? Because he was so, it was a nice break from him answering Tom Brady questions.
Right.
You know, Patriots questions. And it showed me what a generally good guy, you know, he can be. He's not that guy in the roast, man. He's right. Down and dirty and... You know, it breaks my heart that the guy essentially took one more year of football and his wife, Giselle, said, that's it, you know, we're getting a divorce. You promised me. I let you go to Tampa Bay. You won your Super Bowl. Now's the time to quit. And the marriage seems to break up. Even one of the jokes was like, you know, Tom Brady, one of the greatest of all time, 7 rings. Well, actually, he used to have 8, but you know, now he's divorced.
That's good.
You know?
Yeah, it was like a weird thing. Like, and then when he kind of, well, the whole roast, there's some controversy around it. Like, they took out the booze that Kim Kardashian received. Netflix took them out. And then Brady told Ross to knock it off when he's talking about Robert Kraft. It's like, you know, billionaires getting butt hurt, Mike. I'm sorry. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for that. Leave the booze in there. Let him. Robert Kraft is there. It's a roast.
Wait, it's a roast. I mean, that's the whole point. Anything's fair.
Right.
I mean, there's a dozen jokes I can't even come close to repeating. There's ones that are really gruesome, like these perfectly set up lines where I can't. Maybe it was Jeff Ross who was talking about, you know, Tom Brady, you know, 6th-round pick, 199 overall, and then came that fateful day, September 2001, when two Jets slammed into the side of Drew Bledsoe.
Right.
And Brady became the starting quarterback. You know, it's like, oh, my God. 9/11 jokes. Oh, that's my funny. God.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it just keeps the news keeps every day. There's something new about the roast coming out. It's just kind of funny. I mean, I like it because we get to talk about it here, and it's fun. But
it's 3 hours long. So, you know, I recommend you put it on, and then you go to the kitchen and start, you know, chopping vegetables or, you know, putting together some sort of a recipe. You know,
make it a mini-series.
Dishes. Yeah. Get something done while you got it on the background.
Mike Clemens is with us on Nightlight right now. On Conrad's last night, Mike, for a couple and a half weeks, he's going to Italy. And
yep.
But we'll still get you back here. You'll just be Conradless the next time you're here.
Sure.
So what do you got for us, Mike? Like the Brewers, sole possession of first place right now. That's pretty cool.
They're doing well.
Yeah.
And they keep, you know, it's either Pat Murphy. We got to get into his office the other day, and that's where he does his pregame. Usually, you know, Council used to do it on the bench out there, kind of watching the warm-ups and BP. But it's a lot more personable. It's quieter. But Murphy was actually talking to us about all of the concerns he's got every single night about what to do with pitchers because of the injuries that they've had, guys that they're bringing up, guys they're trying out. And then all of a sudden he says, hang on a second, you guys. I got to. And so he starts texting on his phone. So we wait like about 2 minutes, and he's like, he's grumbling. He says, and then Adam McKelvey, you know, veteran reporter, said, what do you got going on there? He said, something for a meal after that? He says, no, I'm arguing with my general manager.
Hmm.
And so people like, oh, come on. Because this guy's always pulling your leg. And then, you know, McKelvey said something, or they just trade somebody, just trade Freddy Peralta or something. He goes, no, but, you know, all right, I'm sorry about that. I mean, he took like 5 minutes to go back and forth, and it was legit. So he's very open that way.
Yeah.
You know, as smart and as sharp as Craig Counsell is and very analytical and, you know, kind of a math guy, maybe, you know, Pat Murray is just the opposite and maybe just what that clubhouse needed because those guys are really getting along. Sal Frelick is this 24-year-old phenom who, you know, they brought up last year. He had an injury with his thumb. But like the other day, you know, nice home run, laid down a perfect bunt to start a rally against the Pirates. And he said, I'm telling you, he said, what I like about, he says, I've played college ball, and you're like a freshman or sophomore, and like the juniors and seniors won't even talk to you. You know, they treat you like they're, he said, Yelich, all the few veterans we've got, you know, this Ryan Hoskins that they brought in from the Phillies, these guys are great, man. I mean, they're helpful. They treat us like teammates. And I'll play my heart out for these guys. So Murphy's got that going for him, and it seems to be getting results.
Conrad, what was the thing you said about the orange lifesaver?
Yeah, he is a orange lifesaver theory that he mentioned.
And yeah, he broke that down in the meeting the other day. He said, how'd that get out? And so he had used it at a speech, you know, and Kurt, the reporter from the Journal Sentinel, tracked that down and what he said that night. So, like, there were all different kinds of personalities, you know, your personalities within a case of lifesavers. And he said, you know, most people like the red ones, but, you know, sometimes you're an orange and sometimes you're that. And so then even when we're in his office the other day, we're all kind of naming what kind of lifesaver we think we are and why we think that we're that way. But, you know, he takes something really simple like that that everybody can, relate to and then, you know, get that into your mind. Like, understand that you've got a clubhouse with guys from all different backgrounds, but, you know, you need to put yourself together and appreciate those differences in order to come together as a team. He's a brilliant guy.
Yeah, I like that style. My guest is Mike Clemens. Mike, can you give us a couple more minutes?
You bet.
All right, we'll be right back with more Mike Clemens and some texts I missed from Sherry and Stacy Sue. We'll read those, too. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
but you when you dance, dance, dance.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
The morning show on WFHR, it's delicious.
Peanut butter and jelly should be squidgy.
Oh, I know a lot of people, yeah.
And the good squidgy white bread.
Yeah.
It's the way it's got to be.
My sister felt the same way. It's got to be, the middle especially for her had to be just a mush.
You guys, as fascinating as this conversation is, one very big thing you just missed there. Mm. Melissa just said the word squidgy on the air.
yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
I mean, what the what?
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on WFHR. FHR.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinee on Air with Jane Matinee. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Love. Conrad's exciting. Going on a cruise. He might come back after meeting his soulmate. Who knows? God willing, he'll be on the Love Boat in the Italy version of the Love Boat. So my guest is Mike Clemens right now. We got a few more minutes with Mike here. We're talking about, hey, Mike, why did the Bucs season end the way it did? Injury, right?
Yeah, you know, it might be a little deeper than that. I mean, Giannis goes down April 9th with that calf muscle injury. You know, won't go into the details on that. But he even said, though, a few days after the season was over that he was going to be weeks away from returning. But just looking at the big picture, I think they ended up being like 19-23, including the playoffs when Doc Rivers took over.
Yeah.
They have to take a real – they have to get up to 50,000 feet and say, okay, how did we pick Adrian Griffin? And what did we do wrong with that move? And this roster, you know, we thought we had that this was a roster that was in the prime of their careers. And clearly it's not. It might be past their prime. And they just re-signed Chris Middleton, but that guy was a baller and came through when they needed him, especially with Giannis out. But this guy's got, like, chronic ankle injuries, and there's some other guys like that. They're Porters and others. Patrick Beverley is nuts. He's nuts. You know, throwing basketballs in the face of women that were heckling him about, you know, hey, you headed to Cancun.
Oh, wow.
They've got to make some serious decisions about what they got to get speed on that roster, basically. And John Horst is in the middle of all this as the GM. And I've got one solid source that said Horst may already be talking about, you know, if the job opens up, going back to the Pistons. So,
whoa.
You know, it's going to be interesting over the next 2 months to see, all right, how do we pick Adrian Griffin? And why did it take us so long to get, you know, Doc Rivers in? And was that the right move? And what do we really need to do with this roster? Because clearly we just can't rewind and hope that we don't get hurt next year.
Mike, how is Green Bay supposed to accommodate 250,000 people 1 year from now?
I have no idea.
I have no
idea. I'm going to have to commute each day for the draft.
Yeah,
right. But Mark Murphy is, you know, I just interviewed him on the tailgate tour. And he said, it's true. We may have to have some cruise ships, like the Love Boat, pull up to Green Bay to accommodate for the extra
hotels.
That's a
great idea. Wow.
Yeah. Money to be made there. But they don't have enough rooms. And so that's going to be interesting. I've got a couple of friends that are in the media that, oh, gosh, I forgot. I should have asked her yesterday. Stephanie Sutton from Channel 12, ABC down in Milwaukee. She went and covered that draft in Detroit. And I've got to ask these people, like, seriously, what is the draw? I mean, so you're with 200,000 right. football fans, and there's a big stage, and, you know, you see a tiny little Roger Goodell. They only have, like, 13 of the 32 players that were actually there to walk across the stage. I mean, I don't get the attraction.
Boy, that's really a great point, Mike.
There's more. There's like five times more people there than would watch an actual game just to watch the draft. If there ever was anything you'd watch on TV.
When they did it in Nashville and you saw those shots down the famous street there with the music and all the bars, like, okay, I get that. That looks really cool, right?
Yeah.
But to be out in an open space, you know, in a plaza in downtown Detroit or out in a, you know, open field next to Arrowhead Stadium for 3 days, I just, you
right.
know, and it's and so I want to ask some people like Lance Allen, some others that went to Detroit to case it out to say, okay, why are people actually coming to this thing besides just showing off their fandom, you know?
Right. I don't get that either. I never even realized that until you said that, like, that is just something I would totally skip.
Yeah, yeah. I would say, you know, all that driving, it's free, but you know the crowds you get. I mean, you got to get on a bus. You got to shuttle into that.
Yeah, thing. Absolutely.
You know, and then stand there, and Lord knows what the weather's going to be like in Green Bay. They got pretty lucky
right.
in Detroit, but now what?
Yeah, we could get a blizzard. Who knows?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Thanks again for your time tonight. Glad you're feeling better, and we. Obviously kept you in your thoughts when you're dealing with all the stuff with your
appreciate
losing your
that
mom,
very
so
much. Appreciate that.
Glad
and
you're back.
I love this show, man.
Yeah.
We'll keep in touch, okay?
Absolutely. And I want another report on the next movie you watch. It's so much fun talking movies with you, too.
Will do, Pete.
All right.
Do. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Mike. That's Mike
Bye-bye.
Clemens. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do that. What did I ask you to take a memo on before, Conrad? You didn't do it, did you?
You know, I thought we'd have more, so I didn't write
You're
it down.
You're already in Italy. You're already on a ship.
Well, here, give me another memo quick so I can
But I really needed that memo. I don't know what I told you. I'm like, I got to find out what I don't know. Maybe a listener knows. We're a little behind on text. From the 608, Carla from Baraboo says, go Brewers. I think they have a two-game lead right now.
Yeah, first place in the Central.
All right. From the 414, Jack from Merrimack says, as I've texted previously to you, I'm a bit of a sci-fi buff thinking of two classic movies. Forbidden Planet is one, and the other is The Day the Earth Stood Still. Both are warnings about our human nature to think we can do anything without thinking about consequences. Hallelujah, Jack. And if we ever needed an alien to visit to warn us, as in The Day the Earth Stood Still, it's now. I'm not really looking forward to that, but... Great movies, though. We've had great, really good ones. From the 920, Jim from Appleton says, classic movie, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane with Joan Crawford? I have not seen that, Jim. That's a great great recommendation. I've got like three movies here people have suggested I have not seen. Carla from Baraboo from the 608 says, starring Conrad Kruger as the Italian lover on this
Hold
week's
on.
Love Boat. What?
You didn't say Kruger, did you?
Oh, I did say Krieger.
Come on, Pete. I thought we knew each other.
Listen, I don't know what's going on with that name. There's K's and E's and U's all over the place. Conrad Krieger as the Italian lover on this week's Love Boat. Exciting and new to you. Let's hear some Love Boat as we wrap up the show here. And I read some texts here on the stream that I missed earlier because I did not have the stream turned on. Stacey Sue says The Godfather and The Wizard of Oz. Great. Yeah, you're in good company there, Stacey. Those are great films. Sherry checked in from Horicon. Good evening, Pete, from Horicon. Good evening, Sherry. I'm sorry it took us so long to get back to you. Sherry says, and Conrad, but she spelled it with a C. I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Sherry also says, Casablanca. Sherry, I just watched that 3 months ago. So great. The Sound of Music, awesome. Most Westerns. I forgot Sherry likes Westerns. She did tell us that before. Ciao, Conrad, she says. Divertiti? Oh, I'm saying that right. You'll come back bilingual. I'd like to thank my guests tonight, John Davies and Mike Clemens. Thank you all for your texts. This was, as usual, so much fun. Tomorrow night, Bruce Jarko and Terry Barr will be with me. Thanks for being with me on Nightlight, folks. So much fun to be with you every evening at this hour. We'll be back tomorrow. This is Pete Schwabe on behalf of Conrad, who sails away. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by writer-director, actor Bruce Jarko, and Terry Barr from Max Inc. joins the show live from the Willie Nelson concert to give us a preview of what's live in the Lair on Saturday night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Attention Badger fans, share the unforgettable experience of game day at Camp Randall Stadium with your friends, family, or colleagues this fall when you request group tickets today. Groups can take advantage of discounted tickets and exclusive Wisconsin football game day experiences. For more information and to request your Wisconsin football group ticket experience, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.